Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned into Big Exclusives.
Please don't forget to subscribe to this channel now.
Now, welcome your host, Valerie Denise Jones.
Hello, 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 guys. Welcome, welcome. I hope you're having a very beautiful day. Actually, a better than great day. Wow, happy holidays, guys. It's almost 2019. Yes, yes. I hope you guys are ready. We got a lot to do. We got a lot to do today, and I'm going to rush this just a little bit, but I see we got a bunch of people in the chat line. I appreciate you guys so much. We're definitely going to have a discussion after today's show on Facebook, so please make sure that you join us. Valerie Denise Jones is where you'll find me. I'm also on Twitter, at Valerie Denise. Thank you so much to the people who have called in. We're going to open up the lines here somewhere around 30 minutes because we've only got the guests for about 15 or 20 minutes, so we want to make use of our time. Again, thank you to our international callers and listeners. We appreciate you so much. Because of you, we now broadcast in over 11 different countries. So big ups to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you to life. The number, in case you don't have it locked in your phone, is 929-477-1167. Again, that number is 929-477-1167. All right. I want to start off with something because I want to get your opinion about this. I'm also going to ask the guests. We got Tyson and Mother Khadija in the building. I'm going to ask them about this audio clip. And then once they exit, then I'm going to ask you about this clip as well as some of the things that they addressed during their interview. So hang tight, guys. Please just get your pen, paper, and your non-alcoholic libations, right? Take a lot of notes. Because after I'm done talking to them, I want to talk to you about what was discussed, right? I want to make sure we keep this love going. But I want to play this because it's very, very important. Our focus today is on young adults, specifically inner city kids, young adults, inner city kids, families. It's the holidays, guys, so we got to make sure that we show support and love to our young people. They are our future. They're our present, too, right now. They're present, right? Okay, here we go.
We're in bed, and then they started shooting, and then my mom came in and told us to get on the floor.
Drug use, gang activity, shootings, drive-bys. You know, there are things that are dealing with and which our average kids may not have to deal with.
Every day I hear gun shots, like, you know, during the night, during the day, it really doesn't matter.
There was shooting, two guys dead, two more hurt.
Two teenagers were shot outside a busy fast food restaurant.
One of the most extensive studies on post-traumatic stress disorder in the community was done here in Atlanta, and it found the staggering statistic that of those who lived in low-income areas in this city, 46% suffered from PTSD. That is a rate much higher even than soldiers who've seen war.
Spend time in some inner cities and you can understand why, to children in particular, it can sometimes feel like a war zone.
War to them may be a local drive-by between gang rivals, you know. War to them may be walking down the street on a needle or seeing someone, you know, using drugs. You know, that is war. And these kids see this on a daily basis, so they may think it's normal when, you know, we know it's not.
When you look at how the rest of the developed world fares when it comes to gun murders as compared to the U.S., you start to see how many more here must be touched by violence.
In a neighborhood, they might hear maybe a car backfiring, and it sounds like a gunshot, and they might have something like a panic response. So they might have increased sweating, increased heart rate response. On a clinical level, what we call that is hypervigilance, is this inability to feel safe. Their brains grow up faster, their biology grows up faster. Gunshots and this violence in the street is something that they're adapting to, and their brain is adapting to it as well, and we can see that on the imaging.
In effect, in these neighborhoods, children's brains are measurably growing up faster because of what they're exposed to. But that affects their ability to learn. It makes it difficult for them to build relationships, makes them more susceptible to depression and to drug use.
Unlike soldiers who come home from war and now they no longer are in that dangerous environment, a lot of the children in this study are still living in that dangerous environment.
We were in bed and then they started shooting and then my mom came in and told us to get on the floor and then get up until it stopped. And then it stopped and one person died and the police came.
Like, I even witnessed my kids getting off the school bus and, you know, we heard gunshots from the next complex over. It's hard for me to go to sleep because sometimes the gun violence, like the guns going off, I can still hear them sometimes, like, ringing in my ear.
Researchers say the levels of PTSD in U.S. inner cities are comparable to those in refugee populations around the world, but that here it goes unrecognized, leaving many to cope alone with the impact.
All right, guys, you heard that clip. Now let's see what today's guests have to say about that. Welcome, Payson and Mother Khadija. I appreciate you so much. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so I just, before we get started and unpack Prison Streets with a Z, Talk Ministries, what did you think about the audio clip I just played?
Well, the audio clip, man, it's sad because those are things that we do face in our community and our environment, you know. And the statistics is high with kids between 13 and 16 killing each other. You know, they walking around with guns and they killing each other. Just in Philly alone, but in 2 months, 143 teenagers between the age of 13 and 16 was killed by one another. And these is our babies. Our babies is killing each other. And it's up to us to get a hold of these kids because they're crying out. And we as community need to reach out and do something for these children. Keep them out the streets. Give them hope. And, you know, tell them to lean on something to where that they find out what it is that they love to do and encourage them to keep doing it.
And what I wanted to add, Valerie, is the firearm-related homicide rates, it's in the larger metro areas, it seems like it's 50% higher than the rate nationwide. And according to the Law Center of that prevents gun violence, the weakest gun control laws are in the highest states with the firearm death rates, which is such as Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Oklahoma, states that you wouldn't think or have the more of the inner city urban deaths, or actually the ones that have the weakest gun control laws. So I thought that was pretty much alarming to see that other concentrated areas is outside of the urban areas, such as these particular states. And it's really about what can Congress, what can the community do to have more control of these gun laws? How can they revamp them to where people don't have quick access to guns? And we know we can't control everything, but, like, what is the steps? What do we need to do to change some of these laws?
Definitely. Wow, and that's the perfect way to segue into Prison Street Talk Ministry. So it's almost a tongue twister a little bit because of the Z. You try to be careful to include it. But let me just tell the listeners, Prison Streets with a Z, Talk Ministries, helps families and young adults from various communities avoid the pitfalls of prison life. It also helps them focus on entrepreneurship, music, writing, cooking, and other related skills. That's what I got from the website. Also, let me give you a little bit about Payson. I keep wanting to say Payson, but it's Payson. Let me give you a little bit about his background, and then I will allow them to elaborate, because like I said, we're pressed for time, and I want to make sure we make the best use of time. I also want to bring in the one and only Omar Tyree into this conversation. But Tyson McCollum gives young people chances that they never fathom. He's a native of Newark, New Jersey, and former inmate who served a few months shy of 14 years for a murder charge, plus an additional 2 years on a gun charge. Hopefully I got that right. He utilizes his skills as an orator to educate young people regarding life behind bars and life after prison. His presentations are real. He travels abroad speaking to young people and families in various communities, schools, colleges, and prisons. His ultimate goal is to educate young adults who are proportionately at risk for being arrested and sentenced to time in prison. Please make sure that you visit their website. It's jazzunderground.wix.com/prisonstreetstalk. You'll get more details there. All right, so Mother Khadijah and Tyson, did I get that right? So you guys want to add to that before we move forward?
No, you pretty much got that right. They could just go to the website, jazzundergroundinternational.com, and everything's underneath that portal.
And we also, with Prison Streets Talk, we also elaborate on the issues that goes on inside the wall, basically being a voice for those who are not heard, who don't have family on the outside, trying to get the laws changed as well inside the prison as well. It's when these brothers and sisters come outside the walls, because there's a lot of issues with concerning, you know, brothers with health care and things like that inside the prison. You know, they're not getting treated with proper medical, they're not eating right and things like that. So these are some of the concerns that we also talk about, so the community get involved to be able to help. And if they have family members in there, be able to call up there and voice the concerns of your loved ones, because, you know, if the people on the outside don't do things for us, they're not going to do it anyway, because they figure we don't have a voice. So those are a lot of concerns that I try to address as well. And also the concerns of brothers and sisters who come out here because of their background, they make it hard to get jobs, and, you know, they don't have proper ways for them to achieve housing and things like that, medical care and stuff like that. And this is one of 13 states that doesn't provide the proper care for inmates that's integrating back into society.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I want to ask you one question, then I'm going to open up the mic and bring Mr. Tyree into the conversation. How do you feel? Sometimes I have mixed emotions about this, but I really, really love her as a beauty advisor and a social media icon. But how do you feel about Kim Kardashian and prison reform? She was able to help one person get out of jail. So how do you feel about her and her initiatives as it relates to prison reform?
Well, my thing is this. If you're doing things out of the kindness of your heart, that's one thing. But if you're doing things for a spotlight, you know, I don't agree with doing things just because you're trying to get the limelight. I respect doing things from the kindness of your heart and really trying to help people. You know, so I'm not really going to speak too much on Kim K, because, you know what I'm saying, I don't know her intentions. Her intentions is great from a certain point of view. And like you said, it's mixed emotions. So my whole thing is if she's doing things out of the kindness of her heart and really trying to change some laws to where it's helping our people get out or get a fair chance when it comes to justice, then that's respectful, because at the end of the day, our black brothers and sisters are going to prison for nonviolent crimes for 20 and 30 years. You know what I'm saying? So these are the things that need to be changed. These are subjects to where is that when you change a certain laws to affect a certain people, then that's wicked.
Right.
And I just want to add, the key is addressing the key issues to create prison reform. And one gentleman, Killer E, shout out to him. he's part of my legal team, our legal team. And as a paralegal, we want to investigate the laws itself because laws are written not necessarily to work to our advantage. And as long as Kim Kardashian is addressing the main issues like legislative issues, interstate commerce plays a big role in how laws are putting people in double jeopardy, and also the prison reform when it comes to the education system. I mean, we don't have enough time to go in detail with those, but just interstate commerce alone, just the way the laws are written, it doesn't actually work in anyone's advantage because you're dealing with double jeopardy at that point. So understanding the laws itself and how it's written and not taking it for just in black and white, because the way the law is written, a lot of these laws need to be revamped. So that's what I think maybe Kim Kardashian should focus her attention on, is how the Constitution is actually written and what the interpretation of the laws are. Because until we get that figured out, history is going to repeat itself. There's going to be a lot of people getting more time than they deserve on the same crime.
Yeah, I totally agree. At this time, what I'd like to do is bring in Mr. Tyree, because it is because of him that I now know you. So welcome, Omar Tyree, to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Listen to everybody. And, of course, it sounds like a gigantic issue. You know, almost seems like Hercules trying to lift the world. You know what I mean? When you start talking about, the laws in prison. Because we got to understand that as soon as black people were freed, during the civil rights era, they automatically put together a whole lot of chicken and watermelon laws and curfew law, all kind of stuff to lock black men up who typically wouldn't have been locked up, because you don't want them dudes off your daggone farm if they're slaves. So when we were in slavery, you didn't want no black men being locked up then. He can't make me no money in jail. But then once we became free, all of a sudden, well, hell, I'm not paying him for the stuff. Well, what about we lock him in jail and then make him do work for free in jail? And so now, with the retention and going back to jail, they know good and well when they come out of jail. They've been in prison for 3-4 years. What skills do they really have in society that's going to prepare them? So they already know. We was on a show last week, Bobby, where they said, 70% go right back within the first year? I mean, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so this is a huge issue. It's like, again, Hercules trying to lift the world, man, when we look at so many things for black people that we have to correct and try to move forward to, get us out of these situations. And then with the kids killing each other like that, first you think about Chicago, you think about Philadelphia, and then you got D.C., and then you got New Orleans, and you got Detroit. Gary, Indiana was one at one time. Of course, the Bloods and the Crips out in L.A. in the 80s. And again, it becomes that breakdown of our society where these kids have no parents in their households. They don't have any ideas of what they want to do. Nobody that can, check them and say, look, don't do that. That's stupid. And so now they're talking to themselves, all teenagers, and it's all emotion. And now to make it even worse, we got this social media stuff where kids can socialize with each other without any type of, guidance or any type of parental provision. They got these cell phones where they can say whatever they want and do whatever they want, and that creates the viral energy where they just kill each other, shoot each other, show up, battle each other. Crazy. Because, when we have regular phones, Valerie, when we had to have a conversation, you're in the house. There's only certain times when you're going to be in the house where parents not going to be around you to hear the nonsense you're talking about. But now you got cell phones. You can go outside and talk all kind of craziness you want, and there's no parents around you to know what you're doing, what you're talking about, what you're planning. And so it's just, man, it's just listening to these issues, and it's like, wow, we want to lend our help and lend our ears and lend our support, but it sounds like Hercules trying to hold up the world, and you're like, good God, where do we start with this kind of stuff? So again, you know what I'm already doing. I'm always trying to push art. I got a whole lot of people reading with books, and now I'm trying to go ahead and push my way into music and film, because those impacts of the visuals where people are talking about it, can create as much as you can to change some of that. But again, it's the Hercules thing. They don't care about that. They want the hottest stuff, the stuff that's right now that the kids control. So it's a lot of control that they have, and we have to figure out how to get some of that control back so that we can guide these kids and keep them out of jail so they don't end up with that whole 70% retention rate of going right back to jail. So it's just a lot of work we got to do, man.
Definitely. Now, I want to remind you guys, we're on the line with Jazz Underground International. They are a grassroots organization that endeavors to change the world forever by opening the doors to youth and also, too, saving children's lives. Saving children's lives. We definitely want to unpack that, and maybe we'll have a part two in the very, very near future, because I want to know more about their plans to develop their developmental workshops, actually, and youth summits that tackles the issues, such issues that Omar just addressed, and then other things that you can go to the website and explore. If you peruse the website, you'll see all the things that I'm looking at regarding, issues in our community, whether it be literacy, things that we definitely need to bring awareness to, domestic violence, incarceration, the parents. Wow, there's a lot to unpack. So, guys, I want to first start off because I want to make sure that people know where to go and they know how to spell this. Jazz Underground with an A. Where'd you get the name? Where'd that concept come from?
Well, actually, my nickname, I love jazz music. I grew up on jazz. And jazz actually used to be my nickname that I went by. But going through domestic violence, I actually had to go in hiding for a couple years. So I had came up with the concept, well, if I start a business, what would it really be? Let me incorporate my whole body, my whole spirit into this name. So that's why jazz is at the beginning, and I had to go underground to find myself. And so when I mastered my skill, took myself through college, got my paralegal degree, and I said, well, look, I love music so much, I want to incorporate it into my grassroots somehow. So why can I not just help the youth that's going through what I went through, from domestic violence, incarcerated parents, and then just let's develop their skills. Let's let them come out of their shells. Everybody's going through something, but take something positive from the pain that you go through and capitalize on it. So that's pretty much where Jazz International stemmed from, is from my own personal journey and my trials and my errors and just my passion for love and helping people. And then with my husband, you know, he did almost 14 years before I met him, actually a little bit over 14 years. And, you know, he had to deal with not being able to see his daughter and just the pain of not, you know, worrying about what is she doing? Is she okay? And we just said, well, let's just put it together. Let's just figure out a way to come up with a movement, which is what we came up with, Saving Children, Saving Lives, to help children that are affected by domestic violence, incarcerated family members, and neglected children. We didn't want to leave any children out. So that way we can create workshops. We can show them how to become entrepreneurs, because that's the key, is showing people how to take your own talent and become a business owner. Think smart, work smart, and keep your mind off the streets, off negative energies, and just stay focused. Then that way you have something to contribute back to the community.
Definitely. And Tyson, would you like to say anything to that? Because, I mean, changing the world forever is that shows lifeblood. Like, you're very, very serious about that. Like, forever is time, like infinity basically, and beyond.
Yeah, basically, you know, my inspiration of doing what I do is because, you know, most of the times we don't realize how much we take from our community when we just out here bugging out, wilding, you know. But I had a chance to find myself, sit down and really ask myself what it is that I want to do, man. You know, and not only, you see, in life, it's only two things. We're going to live and we're going to die. So what is it that I wanted to contribute besides just living and dying? I wanted to create something so that my kids can talk about how I overcame these situations, to be an example for them, and also be able to give back to my community, because I've took so much from my community. So now it's about just giving back, making sure our youth have a chance, trying to put a positive message together for these children, because the children are the future. Without them, we ain't going to have no future. So, excuse me. So it's best that we get a hold of our children as fast as we can, because we have to prepare them for the things to come. You know, this world is not getting easier. So it's things like this. When you have knowledge is dead without works. If you don't use it, then it's not void. So it's invalid. If you ain't going to use it, you know, then you ain't doing nothing with it. You have to give back and give this knowledge to these kids who really don't understand. Because they don't
right.
have a clue.
And I want to make sure that we make it very, very clear if there's a difference, any distinction between Jazz Underground International and the Prison Street Talk Ministries. Are they one of the same or are they two separate entities?
Now, it's under the same umbrella. You know, I am under Jazz Underground. So, you know, it's under the same umbrella. Saving Children, Save Lives, Prison Street Talk, it's all under Jazz Underground umbrella.
Okay. All right. All right. So what do you want people, just for the sake of time, because I know we don't have you that long, what do you want people to get out of today's interview? What would you like to leave them with?
I would like for the people that's listening, if they haven't or they facing these issues, just please feel free to reach out, and I may be able to provide some type of assistance, be able to be a voice or an ear. So, you know, just reach out, you know, and hopefully I didn't touch somebody who's listening and hopefully get them the courage and the strength to want to strive to do better. You know, to want to tackle these issues that nobody really get to talk to them about. So just reach out, Jazz Underground, JAZZUNDA, Ground International.
Right.
I just wanted to add one thing, is that we're here to provide resources. We're here to provide resources not for people that are incarcerated only, but for their families, for their children. We want to make sure that they understand what their rights are while they're locked up and the rights when they come home. And a lot of people, when you come out, it's hard, like he was mentioning before, to get housing, to get the medical treatments. And that's what we're here for. We're here to show them, look, you don't have to go through all that. Here's the resources that you go to. Just go to them. If you need to get bus passes, if you need to get resumes done, if you need jobs, if you need housing, we're a one-stop shop. So we want to be able to make it a little bit easier so that they don't go back in, because it's hard when you come out. So we are the resource and guide for those that need help, need assistance.
Right. And it's the holiday season. I definitely want to ask you this question, because I think quite often when we talk about kids, we talk about PTSD, we focus more on violence. We don't focus on what's going on inside the house. And I know that this next topic I'm about to address is not limited to that, but it's the holiday season. And we did an interview, it's because of Omar Tyree that I was blessed with an interview with the author Zane. And she brought to my attention that domestic violence increases during football season and the holiday season. And that I did not know. And when she said that, it made a lot of sense. And I understood what she was saying. But how do you explain how domestic violence ties into, you know, what it is that you're doing? Because it is broad yet very specific. And you do target niche markets. And you deal with a lot of things like homelessness, incarceration. But how does domestic violence play in all of that?
Well, I don't know if you caught it in the beginning, but I'm a survivor of domestic violence. And because of my own testimony
okay.
and what I went through, and from the shame to not knowing who to go to and being able to serve on the first pilot program for the Domestic Violence Fatality Review Team, that team investigated murder cases specifically from domestic violence. So we was able
mm-hmm.
to bring in police departments, fire medics, nurses, the district attorney, to investigate what is it that all entities was doing wrong. Like, what was it doing wrong to where survivors like myself wouldn't want to come to you and get help? So how could make it easier to make them become more approachable? So learning from my own testimony allowed me to become an advocate for change, advocate for domestic violence, because a lot of survivors do not want to go to authorities. They don't want to take advantage of the resources that's out here. So a lot of people give me a call back because they know I'm a survivor. And I'm able to help still guide them, to provide them ways to get restraining orders. A lot of things have changed, specifically here in Charlotte, to where you don't have to go down to the magistrate office to fill out a restraining order. There's organizations that actually do that for you behind closed doors. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people aren't taking time to educate themselves, you know, or might not have the tools to educate themselves. So being able to show people other outlets instead of the way that they used to do things really is allowing people to get the help that they need and the therapy that they need as well.
Right, and this is my last question, and I want to check in to see if Omar has anything to say before we let you guys go. What do you say? What's the message you want the kids to get? Because I saw domestic violence coming up, and I realized when I saw my mom crying, and everybody knows my story. I was involved with an NFL player, and our story went viral because of a domestic violence situation. And I realized when I saw my mother crying over my situation, she wasn't so much simply crying over that, but she was like, Valerie, I'm crying, and she held me tight. She was like, because your life, in a sense, is mirroring mine. And she was like, you are attracting the same kind of men that I attracted, right? And so being that my father was about that life, and he was my hero, I almost, in a sense, kind of inherited that sense of value through the bloodline. You know, that this man who was supposed to be my superhero didn't value women. So in return, I guess I sought out, I don't even know how to even explain that, because I was always very careful, very meticulous as it relates to my mates. I thought I was, but I found myself attracting some of the same men that my mom and my aunties and elders, female elders in my family, you know, that they attracted. And unbeknownst to me, then I ended up in similar situations. But what do you say to the kids who are in this environment, and what do they, like, should they look for certain things, especially the women? Should they look for certain things? What do they need to do, you know, if they know that they're in, you know, certain environments? Do they have help, someone to call? Like, we know what the adults can do, but what do the kids do? What message you want to give to them, and what help would you like to lend to them as, you know, as part of my last question?
Well, there are a lot of signs, and a lot of youth, you know, even with teen dating, domestic violence is everywhere. It's not just an adult. It's young teen dating as well. There are signs to specifically look for before it becomes physical. And it's, you know, words that they say, the tone, and, of course, letting you down, body language. It's so many signs and you can Google this on the computer. There are so many signs to look for. So once you start seeing, okay, they have XYZ, okay, we need to shy away. And, you know, and if when they start isolating yourself from your friends, isolating yourself and it's only you and this other person, that's another sign. But my key is research. Investigate. Do background checks. Know who you're getting involved with. Know who you're giving your precious life to before you take a leap of faith, because you don't want to be lonely or by yourself or you're trying to fit in. Don't, you know, break the cipher, break that curse. You know, you don't have to be like your mom or dad if they're abusive. You can break that curse and break that cipher. And I know we women tend to find the men that's like our fathers. So if your father's abusive, you know, that doesn't mean that you're going to find someone that's abusive. Unfortunately, it does tend to be that way sometimes, but my message to the youth is we don't have to follow their lead. We can make a change ourselves, but there are signs that one could look for to avoid that whole situation of getting involved with someone that's abusive.
So yeah, I'd like to jump on that. I'd like to add to that too, Valerie, before we end here, if I may.
Wait, Omar, give me 1 second. I want to tighten the reins just a little bit, Mother Khadijah. I want to tighten it just a little bit. What do you say to the kids? Because, see, I sat back and watched it, right? Do you have any activity, especially for your little kids who can't research, get to the computer? Should they, you know, leave the room? Should they go for a walk? Should they, you know, what should the little girls do as opposed to watching mommy go through this? Is there something they can do so they don't end up with some kind of pre-record, and then, you know, like I said, inadvertently live this thing out, or because we're spiritual beings having a human experience, we attract that same stuff to us. Do you have any techniques or any, you know, anything to the little girls who, you know, are not privy to the research and so forth and so on that they should do when they see mommy and daddy arguing and fussing, or maybe daddy or mommy puts their hands, you know, on that person? Talk to them. I kind of just want to talk
well,
to the baby.
Well, this is what
right
I'm
going to
say. Each household is so different, you know.
Right.
And I'm going to be very blunt. Sometimes they're just going to have to see that, because even if you go to the other room, you're still going to hear that. My thing is, first thing I'm going to say, you have to keep prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Never stop praying, because prayer is what saves us. Two, if you can go to the other room, that's fine. But most of the time, it happens in front of the children. Very seldom do they send the kids to the room. So each situation is different. But try to talk to someone, a family member. Confide in someone, a school teacher, a counselor. You know, they go to school, so when if it happens while they're out of school, try to find someone if they're in their church, their ministers, their loved ones. But holding it in is not going to help. But speaking about it will, to create that change. But unfortunately, young people, some people just have to see that. And the key is to do something about it. So voicing that, letting another adult concerned citizen know what is going on in that household, because a lot of the children are murdered from their spouses or their boyfriends, or, you know, and it's not just young girls. I mean, I'm going to talk to the young boys and girls, because it affects everybody in that household. So I don't want people to think that domestic violence just only happens to females. So if we can figure out a way for the youth to be comfortable to talk about it without feeling like they're getting their mommy in trouble, their daddy in trouble, find a family member to talk to first. Find a school teacher to confide in. So that way, you know, people can create change, because no one wants to be caught up in the foster system.
Right. I appreciate you for saying that, because like it was in the audio clip, kids at some point think it's just normal. And I appreciate you for saying that, because it is not normal. So you made some very, very good points. Mrs. Tyree, I cut you off, and then I'm going to let them give their contact information and social media. What were you saying?
Well, I just wanted to say earlier, when I'm listening to you talk about your situation, and you were saying you were attracting certain men. And what I wanted to say to all the women listening is that I've been around this situation as well. My mother was abused for a short period, and then she left. And so what I'm telling a lot of women is she chose better men. And I'm not trying to put it all on the women, but we have to teach young girls how to choose, because they are in a position where they choose who they want to be with. And I guarantee that, Valerie, you attracted a lot of men. But it's who you choose to reciprocate that attraction to. And what I found in my research, I grew up in Philadelphia, of course, you find that a lot of girls who come up in those households, they have a problem with how to choose a proper guy. And so they tend to choose domination instead of equilibrium. Equilibrium is a guy that respects you, and a lot of times that becomes boring to them, because they're used to a dominant type of personality. And so instead of a guy that's asked them, can I have your phone number? Can I take you out? Can I? That's boring to them. They respond to guys like, give me this, give me that, do this. And they think it's cute. And I've been around this where guys bully girls as 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and they laugh and they think it's cute. And I see it all the time, Bobby, because I'm from Philadelphia, so I've seen it. And I'm like, yo, that's not cute. But then a boy that wouldn't do that to them, they turned off like, oh, he's boring. He don't give me those feelings that the other dude does. And so we have to learn how to teach these girls, you have to choose for equilibrium in a mate, a guy that makes you feel comfortable to ask you, where you have a certain force in yourself to say, I can turn him down and he's not going to act a fool. So you say, okay, right? You start choosing those type of men, and those type of men are less abusive, less intimidating, less all of that stuff. But we have to learn to teach these young women that, and I'm not putting it all on the women, but at the end of the day, if you want to disconnect yourself from a guy, you have to be able to do it as quickly as possible. Like the first time he says something wrong, you know what, I don't want to be involved with that, I'm done with you. And that's it. But a lot of times, if those young girls don't know how to choose, they stay involved with these guys, they're used to these guys, but you got other guys that you attract all the time. So, I have to be able to say that because I wrote a book called A Do Right Man, and I used to make jokes about it. And I said, sisters in the hood, a lot of times they got two things that they say about do right men. Oh, he's just so nice. He's a nice man. And then the second sentence, but he's not my type, right? And your type ends up being these thug-like cats that don't, disrespect you, do all of it. But you got a dude that will carry your books, go to church, but he's not your type. And so I used to make jokes about that 20 years ago, Valerie. But, of course, I'm almost 50 years old now. So this ain't no new thing. It's old and old and old. And we have to start to learn how to teach these young women choose for equilibrium and not domination when you're dealing with these boys.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, I could talk to you all day because you're so easy to talk to. And you definitely put everything that you do and everything you want to say in layman's terms. So, wow, I understand. I totally understand your mission. Can you give us your contact information, social media, and any final thoughts?
Hey, Valerie, if I could just say one thing to Omar Tyree,
sure,
man. I'd like to appreciate you, man. I just want to say I appreciate you, man. Your books helped me get through, man, a lot of my time, man, just reading your books. When you started talking about that book that you wrote, I just started laughing, shaking my head because I read that book. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I appreciate
you, right,
man. Your urban novels got me through a lot of rough days, man.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's what
I
try to do, man. So I try to use logic and I try to use our stories and telling the truth. Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia, so that's all I know is the truth. That's how we get down. So I try to do that. So we don't have no, people read books and, I'm going to the beach. And I don't write no beach books. I write books about the truth for black people so we can learn who we are and heal ourselves and then understand why we do what we do and try to figure out how to get around that. So that's what I do with my books. Right on.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Right.
Welcome, man. I appreciate you, man.
Yes.
We're on Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn, Jazz Underground International. You can go to jazzunderground.com, and all of our information's on there. Or if anyone want to reach out to us directly, they can hit us up at 619-356-1049. That's 619-356-1049. Or shoot us an email, jazzunderground@gmail.com.
All right. All right, so, Jason, if you don't have anything else to say, and Mr. Tyree, if you don't, then I guess we're done. Going once, going twice? No?
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Give you guys a definite applause, and thank you so much for stopping by today. We appreciate you for all that you do and your contributions, and please have a very safe and happy holiday.
You as well.
Thank you. All right, guys, that was Prison Street Talk Ministries and Jazz Underground. Please make sure that you visit their website as well as their social media pages. When we come back from this audio break, we're going to have a quick conversation because we're down to our last 15 minutes. We got quite a few shows today, so we're pushing hard. We're doing what we got to do to go right into 2019. We're going to get it right. 2019 is going to be powerful. We're going to be ready for 2020 when it's time for us to vote again. We definitely need each other. We got to pull together. We must do that. All right, and speaking of what we must do, hey, you know what? I'm inspired to play this. Support black-owned businesses, just like we just showed love to the black couple.
Throughout history, there's always been the same question. How come black people don't seem to get further on the economic scale? This is a question with multiple answers. First, comes slavery. Second, not knowing our history. And last, not sticking together. There's a beautiful African proverb that we unfortunately seem to forget. If you want to go fast, go alone. if you want to go far, go together. This quote still stands for today. If we as black people want to get higher on the economic ladder, so where do we start? Well, by supporting black-owned businesses. Money is not the solution to our problems, but a tool to build our own economy. The time is now to support black-owned businesses. Black Economic Network, where black-owned businesses come together.
Are you ready to make money? Lincoln Heritage Life Insurance Company is seeking agents in Indiana, Florida, Ohio, and Virginia. Contact Ebony Fire at 216-224-5311 for details.
Everyone's nervous on a first date, but with my situation, it's even scarier. I want to be open and honest, but some things are almost impossible to talk about. Then I discovered starttodate.com.
With starttodate.com, I found a partner that I can tell anything to and not be afraid or feel like I'm hiding things. I never dreamed I could be this happy.
Stop worrying and start dating with starttodate.com, where relationships begin with honesty and trust. Download the app at starttodate.com.
Are you a dope go-getter like a stylist, model, beauty expert, or independent artist doing your thing? If so, Fashion Life and Tea is looking for you. All you have to do is email us at info@fashionlifeandtea.com for a chance to be on our podcast. To learn more about who we are and what we do, you can check out our blog at fashionlifeandtea.com.
I pray you're enjoying today's show. Please, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this episode on social media. Also, visit ValerieDeniseJones.com for additional updates. Now, back to the show.
All right, guys, we are down to our last few minutes. Now, I just want to grab maybe one or two calls. And if I don't get to you guys, I apologize. It's a very, very short show today. I want you to go and enjoy your holiday. So I don't want to commandeer too much of your time today, but I would like to pull in a couple people just to see what they thought about today's show. Right now, what I'd like to do is bring in Mr. Raymond Dickerson. Raymond Dickerson, RaymondDickerson.com is the website. That's what where you will find him. Raymond, come on in. Definitely welcome to the show. I appreciate you so much.
Welcome.
Hey, I'm in some kind of mood today. Yes, definitely. Yeah, come on in. I'm put one more person on the spot, just one more, because I see, gosh, we're down to our last like 8 or 9 minutes. I don't have time for 2 or 3 calls. I only have 3 or 4 calls. I only have time for 2. I see Miss James is hanging out in the back. Ali, I see you. Don't be hiding. Yeah, I see a bunch of numbers I don't recognize. But, guys, thank you so much for tuning in and supporting us today. So, Raymond, we'll start with you because I'm not sure if Miss James is ready. But
No, I'm ready.
What did you
I'm ready.
Think?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, welcome.
I appreciate you. Matter of fact, I cleared my schedule just for you today.
Yes, look at that. I'm all excited. Thank you. Oh, that's like a virtual Christmas gift. I appreciate it. Look at that. Adding a unicorn.
Well, when you said it was going to, when you texted me, you said it's going to be some valuable information. I said, okay. I made a text. I said, I got to reschedule.
Yes.
So,
thank you so much for the love.
Definitely. I even wrote down the time.
Definitely.
So I made sure, because we're on a time difference. So, yeah, I'm plugged in today. That was just horrific, and it really took me back to South L.A. Back in the 80s when I used to hang out with a friend of mine. And when gunshots would go off in the neighborhood, we'd all have to hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking almost 30 years ago. And so it's even worse now. And it's a war zone. I was in an area not too long ago, and we heard 2 different things. And one person said, oh, that's a backfire to a car. And then a few minutes later, we heard a similar noise. He said, okay, now that was a gunshot. I said, oh, my God.
Right.
And we were out in a garden out in open. There was no walls, and this was right nearby, and I just said, oh, my God. But another thing that hurts me is the fact that one of the things that I see when people are killed on our public streets, and there's instant shrines going up to these people, balloons and the foil balloons and the makeshift hearts and so forth, and rest in peace, and it just touches me right then and there. Wow, that last second of that person's life, who were they? And why were they at that particular point, at that particular time, day or night, and now this is the last sign of them that they lost their life right here. And this is in the inner city, and it just so the two people that were just on Jazz Underground, and Saving the Children, Saving the Lives, I took their number down. Valerie, I am definitely going to call them. My mom was just going crazy on connecting.
Please do
But I don't know where they are. Excuse me. I apologize. I don't care where they are. I'm definitely going to get in touch with them. So I thank you.
Please do. Yes,
so you said it's powerful shows today. You start. I want to see what's on top of the show. Thank you.
Today was very, very good. Yeah, we got quite a few things going on this week. Definitely that. Thank you for that. And when you call them, please touch bases with me. But definitely call them and tell them that you listen to the show, and that's how you got the number. Like I said, we want to continue showing love and support to them.
Most
and big ups to Omar Tyree for the intro.
Yes.
Mr. Dickerson. Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Dickerson, there was a statistic that was mentioned in the audio clip. Ms. James just mentioned the statistic, and she expounded on one of the points that was made. But another point that really stood out to me regarding the interview and also the audio clip that I played at the beginning of the episode was that PTSD is at a higher rate in kids versus soldiers who participate in any war. And also they also compared it to refugee camps. Now, you're former military. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, first and foremost, I must say that unconditional love is the biggest investment you can make in a child, whether it comes from the house or from the community. That love is very important. How can I relate? Well, I suffer from PTSD. I didn't know it at the time. I served the military for 26 years. I retired as a lieutenant colonel. I came home. I was depressed. I was withdrawn. I didn't spend much time with my kids. I didn't understand what was happening. But fortunate for me, not to mention the dreams and the nightmares that I would have. Fortunate for me, I had the medical care, and I got the medical attention necessary to get me through my process. And actually, after I went through my therapy, music became part of my therapy as far as writing songs and producing songs. That was part of my therapy and my healing process. With these kids, they don't have those avenues. They become desensitized to the conditions that they live in and therefore become a part of the problem instead of the solution as they grow older. And that leads to the incarceration of most of these young people because they were never given the chance to go through the necessary therapeutic process to deal with the PTSD that they're living with every day.
Wow. And on that note, we want prayer. We definitely want prayer, and I'm not trying to take this lightly, but I always joke with this guy. So, guys, we're going to step outside of reality and joke with him just a second. Welcome, Pastor Gay, to the show. How are you? How's the congregation
doing
today?
Excuse the noise in the background. I'm out and about on the job. Well, that's my day off, but I have to stop by here. But congregation's doing fine. Everybody's doing well. I was dipping in and out of the show listening to the topic. Very interesting. We're doing
very
fine.
Very interesting it was. Definitely. Appreciate you. Yeah, always, always. I tell you, this is my soundbite. Because I'm glad you're over there.
Hallelujah!
Atlanta.
Another soul saved.
Yes, yes,
see,
yes.
Now you got everybody calling me Pastor Gay. Even Andrea yesterday called me Pastor Gay. Supposed to be expecting me to do a sermon this Saturday. So.
We gotta save these souls, honey. We gotta save these. We ain't got time to go to hell. We trying to get to heaven. So we got. God said, "Come as you are." He calling all of them. He makes the rocks cry out. So yes, yes, you will be Pastor Gay until you leave here, or until I leave here, or whatever happens. Whatever happens. Yes, yes. You save souls on Saturdays. But, yeah, you know, this is a very, very serious topic today, definitely. I'm definitely not taking it lightly. And we definitely need people such as the ministries, the people we talk to today. They actually have a prison street talk ministry, very similar to our radio ministries. I consider this a radio ministry. Would you guys agree? I mean, I see a lot of people. Y'all didn't press the number one. That's okay. I understand. We are down to our last 5 minutes. But, yeah, I just wanted to say that anytime you open up your mouth, if you got one other person, because the Bible say all you need is one. They said two or more join. He's in the midst. So, to me, you know, you're congregating, right? And hey, the temple, where's the temple? What does the Bible teach you? What's the temple? What did it say? Anybody?
Well, Valerie.
Anybody.
I feel if you're informing someone, you're inspiring them, and you provide an insight,
yes.
You're a minister.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing.
Exactly.
You're informative, you're inspirational, and you're insightful.
See there? There you go, Michael. Look at that. Told you.
Okay. I got it.
Yes, yes. All right, guys, I want you guys to have a great day. We have got so much ahead of us today. But I want you guys to show, you know, people some love. I hope after you leave here, you get on your social media and you say, hey, we had a great show today. Big exclusives with Valerie Denise Jones, 929-477-1167, ValerieDeniseJones.com. You know, go on and just put that on your social media and encourage people also to subscribe to the channel, because I want to do more than just 11 countries and terrestrial radio and college radio. We want to expand because we got Miss James who's doing her thing, you know, with the hemp cannabis education, throwing it down on Wednesdays. Told you, Pastor Gay he has his congregation. They do their things on Saturday. Raymond's going to do his thing in 2019. Ali has his hug ministry. You know, Rhonda has her ministry. Tia, I keep saying Ty because the guy's name was Tyson. Omar Tyree has his ministry. Look at. I bet you Omar did not know. I know he's on mute because he's doing something now. But I bet he did not know when he was writing that book how many lives he was going to affect. Because a lot of people, we do talk to a lot of people who are about prison reform, and we talk to a lot of people who are former inmates, and they come and they share their stories, they come in and they always say, yeah, it's Omar Tyree's books, you know, who got me through. So I don't know what they be doing with them books or what they learn from them books, because they don't never get that far. They just say, man, you got me through, so whatever it is. Hey, you know, to each his own. But I bet he didn't know how he was pollinating the world. No pun intended. Where's my mind? Let me get off this channel, y'all, because I'm in the dirty 30 right now. We'll start ladies first. Miss James, what's your contact information? And also, do you guys have any holiday messages you want to share? We want to end on a very upbeat note, right? It's the holiday season and almost the new year. You want to say something? You got a joke for me? Not the pot belly joke, though. We heard that one. Do you have a joke or anything? I'm jumping all over the place. You swear
I don't.
Something the way I do. You swear.
I'm kind of non-alcoholic
libation.
Yeah. I'm multitasking this morning or this afternoon, whatever
okay.
the time frame is. So I don't have
all
a
right.
joke, but I do want to say, for those who don't have any immediate family or are by themselves, don't feel by yourself. go by a senior citizen center, go to the hospitals. The homeless shelters, your church, there's always, and it's not too late, even go on a meetup, is Google. Where do people hang out who don't have other places to go? I mean, it's just, this is the time and the season, and this is the beginning of the winter solstice starting today. Think outside yourself, even to the young ones and the older people who cannot get out at this time of the year. They may need your help. They may have Christmas cards. If they need to be, they still do it the old-fashioned way, and they need to get those Christmas cards out. They need to get them to the mail. They need packages delivered. So please think outside yourself and give your time as a gift this year and beyond. That's one of the most, that's the one commodity we cannot get back, is time. So just remember how precious your time is, not only to yourself, but for other people. There are other people out there that are less fortunate. So come in 2018 and into 2019 and beyond with a bigger heart, because as we have to remember, we're all made from the same creator, which is he created everything, and he created all of us with love. And Valerie, I just want to say thank you and for what you've done this year, and you've definitely added to my life. You have.
Thank you.
And so that's why I cleared my schedule.
Christmas gift.
That's why I cleared my schedule today. Excuse me, because what you've already shown me. And those are the people I surround myself with. And as I learned on an information this morning, that success is in all of us. We just have to bring it out.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Man, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. And we're talking about different ways in case people feel alone or people don't feel worthy, and we were talking about PTSD, Mr. Dickerson, you lend your time and resources to the Wounded
Warrior Project. That's correct.
Warrior Project, right, because I want to put soldiers in there. The Wounded Warrior Project. Would you like to tell us how we can donate or contribute to that and also give us your social media?
Okay, my name is, of course, Raymond Dickerson. My social media is raymonddickerson.com. You can also Google Raymond Dickerson's Command and Control, and it will populate any search engine, Google, Bing, or whatever. The Wounded Warrior Project is, you know, you can donate in your own name online through the Wounded Warriors Project. Any donation to the Wounded Warriors Project will go directly to the veterans. We must remember, we talked about PTSD. And like I said, I talked about treatable PTSD because I do suffer from PTSD, but it's controlled. It will never leave me, but, like I said, I control it. And we lose, on average, 22 veterans a day to suicide because of the things that they experience or are going through in their lives because of PTSD. So it's very important that we contribute to, organizations that support not only our wounded warriors, but just like we were saying, the children that's going through this process. We need to find organizations that support them and get them the necessary mental help that they need to get through this process. And then my last note is let us love without words and speech, but with actions and truth. So don't just say love, put it into action and put it into truth.
Gotcha. Thank you. Appreciate that. And last but not least, Mr. Gay, could you be the last person I only have time for? The three calls. So, guys, I apologize. I really, really do. This is going to be a short show. I told you that in the beginning. Yeah, we got a short show because we got a full schedule this week. So I'm pressed for time. But Mr. Gay, come on, Pastor Gay, come on over here. Give us a little bit of your holiday spirit.
Well, I'm looking forward to Christmas and the new year, and like Andrea James said, I'm really thankful for having the opportunity of meeting you and getting to know you. You've been a real big help in this media with all the things that you do, and, you know, just appreciative and just look forward to next year as you continue with your show, I continue with mine, and everybody working together. You know, I just like the fact that, you know, we all are, you know, a congregation, like, you know, whether we're on air, sometimes when we're off air, we communicate. We're all like a family, and I really like that, and I appreciate all of you. So I look forward to, you know, working with you guys and talking with you guys in the next year to come. So just looking forward to it. Thankful to see another year.
Yes, yes. And your social media, sir? Tripod? Okay.
My contact. Yeah.
What you doing over there? What you doing over there? You seem a bit distracted today. What's going on with you?
I'm at the store right now, so that's how come it's probably going in and out, and there's people walking by me and some of my coworkers.
Okay.
That's what happened.
This will be the last thing. Just go on and give us your Facebook so we can go over there and show you some love and make fun of your tripod boom stand.
Yeah, tripod boom stand on Twitter. And it's the Michael Gay Show on Facebook, and also Michael Gay. And you can also contact me at www.sheldongay@att.net. And this Saturday, we're going to have a rebroadcast. We interviewed Shirley Jones earlier part of the year. So that's going to be a rebroadcast. But tune in next Saturday. We have a special, special guest, plural, coming on the show.
All right. Yes, yes, yes. I love it. I love it. Well, guys, thank you so much again. Please be safe. Stay prayed up. That's very, very important. Pray, pray, pray all day, all day. Yeah, so I think I heard prayer. Pray, pray, pray all day, all day. It keeps the demons away or something like that. I think I messed it up. But anyway, guys, you get the point. I love you to life. I hope you have a great rest of the day. Man, I don't know how to say it enough. This is a great show. Please, please, please make sure that you go to the websites that we mentioned earlier, and that was jazzundergroundinternational.com. Jazzundergroundinternational.com. Show Mother Khadijah and Tyson some love, because they're out there working very, very hard. Make sure you go to RaymondDickerson.com, and also Michael Gay just gave you his information. Ms. James gave you hers. Mine is ValerieDeniseJones.com. Ali is on Facebook as well. There's a lot of places you can go, guys. You're not alone. You're never alone. Visit, hit us up. We will respond because we love you to life. So we always want to love on you. Having said that, 929-477-1167 is the number. I want you to lock in your phone. We are here on this network, Tuesdays. We moved from Tuesdays, guys. We no longer do Tuesdays. We're on this network. We have a show on Wednesdays at 4. We have a show on Thursdays at 4. We have a show on Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, 929-477-1167. If you forget any of this and you need updates, just come on over to my website, ValerieDeniseJones.com. Until we meet again, until we talk again, until we see each other on the other side, here we go. God bless.
Give me a J.
Yay.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an E.
E.
What's that spell?
Yeah.
What's that spell?
Yeah.
What's that spell?
The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Or visit MissValerieDeniseJones.com for details.
Okay, good night.